Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is October 30th, tomorrow night, Halloween. Too bad we don't have a Thursday night football game in the Superdome. Those Halloween games are always fun with the New Orleans crowd, of course. But we will have Saints Sundays back in a noon kickoff in Carolina against the lowly Panthers, although I can't make too much fun of them. They just have one less win than the Saints do right now. Looking at this black and gold bunch heading into this game, some of the injured are getting back to healthy, like a Derek Carr, limited today with his oblique injury. The expectation is he will be able to suit up on Sunday. We heard a lot from him last hour as he spoke to the media after practice. Also, another great sign that Derek will be ready to roll. They don't usually trot guys out there that are banged up and ready to miss a week of action.
Yeah, and there was one thing I did want to mention. We didn't mention it earlier. I did want to mention it. It could be a good question for Jeff. Maybe I should save it. But someone, I think I saw someone in the media pool, saw someone tweet about it.
That, yeah.
DA was asked, like, in the event that Carr can't play or he gets injured again on Sunday like that, like, who is there a named number two that will be the backup between Haener and Rattler? And at the moment, no, there isn't. I could be wrong.
I thought that really? Dennis Allen said that it was going to be Jake Haener being the number two guy.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
I'd like to hear that I'm wrong.
we'll definitely get into it, Jeff Nowak. I think really going through what I heard from the Dennis Allen audio was that Haener would be the guy, and he didn't really want to get into too much of the explanation behind the decision.
Okay.
It's just that they were going with Haener in that two spot and not Rattler. I guess Spencer will be the emergency quarterback come Sunday in Carolina. The banged up black and gold list, like I was mentioning, Derek Carr limited, Juwan Johnson limited, Alvin Kamara, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Nick Saldiveri, and Jamal Williams all limited for this team. Not practicing, Cedric Wilson Jr., Rico Payton, Bub Means, a Kendra Miller, Tyrann Mathieu, and Marshawn Lattimore. The positive spin on Tyrann is that it's an illness. Hopefully it's nothing serious enough where it's going to keep him out, just a little under the weather right now. And with Marshawn Lattimore, that's obviously huge with your number one shutdown corner. We saw him having hamstring issues last game as well. So hopefully it's something where Marshawn's able to get right for this Sunday, because I know it's just the Panthers, but we still need him out there.
No, you do, because again, the phrase we always use is that he takes away a side of the field.
So shut it down.
It's not just
the eraser, I like to call him.
No, it's a great name. It's not just the fact that he, you know, erases one player. It's that he erases one side. It's not like you. If they still had Deontay Johnson, it'd be like, okay, you can basically count him out. You could count who Mike Evans out when we play the Bucs. Count Chris Godwin out. Whoever he's lined up with, you can usually just write them off as a. You can write them off as they're not playing a game. You could be like, they're hopefully not going to be as substantial a part. But with them not having Johnson and the way Marshawn really plays, it's kind of like one side of the field is gone. I know It might be Thielen. Maybe we see Chuba Hubbard catch. Who knows?
And looking at the Panthers side of things, Thielen was limited with a hamstring issue there. So definitely be keeping an eye on the injury report all week. We always do. But yeah. A lot of important names for both sides of the football. We mentioned, obviously, Lattimore here, the cornerback. Also have Kool-Aid McKinstry limited with a hamstring issue. So both corners dealing with hamstring issues. We know that the other corner, Paulson Adebo, broke his femur.
Yep.
So that's depleting this once stocked secondary. What we thought, man, these guys have too much talent on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good reason you have too much talent for when injuries happen. And I remember here, I was doing yard work the other day, and I was listening to Black and Gold, Inside Black and Gold with you and Jeff.
Oh, nice plug right there.
Find it wherever
you
get your podcast. And I was hearing Jeff about how, like, you know, defensively, you know, three up, three down, studs and duds. Defensively, the Saints secondary was kind of hoping the Chargers game would be a get right game, and it kind of wasn't.
No, right.
This week, you have Bryce Young, who historically hasn't been great.
He can't even see over the line.
Who is he going to throw the ball to? You've got a guy who can't really throw the ball and nobody who's going to really catch the ball. So if there's ever, I understand that we're a little down and out with the secondary, with the Debo, and now three other guys and Kool-Aid, Payton, and Marshawn on the injury report. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that there might not be much that you have to cover. If Young is playing and he has not that many options, hopefully this is the kind of situation where you don't have to go out and prove that much, because there's not going to be much to prove. There's not going to be much that you have to do.
No, that'd be a great question for folks right now. If you're, you know, fans out there, can you name two Carolina Panthers wide receivers?
I can name Thielen. The only other thing I can think of is Johnson, not on team.
Right.
And then, like, pass catchers. Chuba Hubbard, maybe, but even then, he doesn't catch. He just runs.
The one, the rookie jumps into my head, obviously, Xavier Legette.
I'm forgetting
about
him.
Just because he is a magnificent soundbite. I'm really sad he's not in New Orleans. He is a joy to cover. He was talking about food in the locker room. I saw someone posted.
Really?
And he was talking, he doesn't eat seafood. He doesn't eat vegetables. He's really a meat and potatoes kind of guy. But when they asked him, oh, why not seafood? He goes, well, I'm allergic. And he's like, they're like, oh, well, that's a good
sense.
Reason
that
then, right?
I just love that accent.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
He's so good.
Just you can tell a lot of joyfulness in that voice, and it's just the accent is so amusing. Marshawn might not be able to cover Xavier Legette this game. I mentioned also Kool-Aid being down. We know Paulson Adebo out with a broken femur, and that's going to leave a lot of pressure on Alante Taylor, and he's been working all over the place from the slot to the outside. We caught up with him in the Saints locker room after today's practice. Here's a little cut of what Alante had to say leading into Sunday's game.
What's been just the mentality of the locker room and the guys on the team right now riding this losing streak?
I think everybody's being positive. Everybody's, you know, we're still coming in smiling every day, but I don't know, the energy is a little different. You know, we're not as turned up in here as we normally are, but I think guys are just, you know, trying to figure out what to work on within themselves to help the team. And sometimes when you do that, you kind of, you know, distance yourself sometimes.
Right now for you, what are you working on considering it looks like the two corners are out at the moment?
Yeah, you know, I'm back at home, I guess you could say. I'm really just trying to figure out what can I do to maybe give us a better chance at winning games. You know, people are going to talk about, I don't know, I'm kind of being consistent and I kind of have these bad plays here and there, but no, I'm just kind of looking at the negative side of it for me personally and just saying, like, how can you take away those negative things? So I'm really just taking one day at a time, one rep at a time, and I'm trying to figure it out still. But I think the best thing I can do right now is just continue to fly around. You know, I'm in this different leadership role now, like you said, with our corners down. So I have to make sure I give a better example to the younger guys and lead them in the best way possible.
What do you feel like the attention to detail is at? Does it need to be better? How do you?
Man, you know, the other teams that we play, you know, they get paid just like we do. So, you know, there's times where you can be right on with the details and still get beat. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's just the attention to detail that's making us lose these games. So, you know, I think we just got to figure it out as a unit and as a group. And, you know, we have to believe in each other. And I think we just got to go out there. You know, we got to play 60 minutes. Nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's coming to say, let's not play these last couple games. Like, so, you know, we just got to go out there each week and find a way to win.
How are you handling kind of your, like, shifting role? Like, you're in the slot, now you're on the outside. Like, how do you kind of handle that?
At this point, I guess I'm used to it, right? You know, I've always said I'm a corner. I've gotten comfortable playing the nickel. I feel like I've done really well with that. So, you know, being back outside, it's not like I have to figure my feet out or figure something out. I feel like I'm comfortable out there. And, you know, with Ugo playing in that nickel right now, you know, I can communicate with him. And being back outside, I have the sideline now, right? So my technique is going to look a little different for me. But like I said, I'm in a different leadership role right now. And so playing nickel and playing corner is something that, you know, I have to continue to explain to the other guys whatever their role is. Like, if they forget or something like that, they know they can look outside to me and, you know, I can make sure I get them where they need to be.
There's this stat called, like, disruptive plays. That's, like, pass breakups, sacks, tackles for a loss, and, like, you lead the league in it right now. Do you feel like you could be even more dynamic if you were, like, featured in more of, like, a just go be a killer type of role?
It's crazy you say that because my family sent that to me and I didn't even see it until I think it was the day before the game. I seen it. I think I've had my opportunities, man. You know, I've missed two sacks that I could have been up there on sacks. Last week, I missed two interceptions that I could have had that would have put me even higher. So I don't think there's more that you can give me, right? Like, I've had my opportunities. I feel like earlier in the season, I seized those opportunities and I did well with them. And I think these past couple weeks, I've just been, you know, one step away or, you know, I'm just like one play away from making a change for the team. And so that's why I talk about where can I fix where I'm at to make a difference for the team and give the team a better chance at winning. And so, you know, that's all cool and great. But like I said, I think I had the opportunities and I'm in the right position. And DA's put me in positions to make plays. And I've made some, but I've also missed some.
Saints corner Alante Taylor there. You can hear what a leader he has become in the team locker room. Good speaker and just has that alpha dog mentality you want around. You, Cullen, we were kind of talking off it just right now off mic. When you look at players on this squad that you look as building blocks or keepers, and maybe a if a team does come calling looking for some players, who do you want to keep around as the future of this franchise? And I would definitely put Alante Taylor into that mix.
I would 100%. I know that Loomis, there was a quote last night, I'd have to do some digging, maybe I'll find it after Jeff, where Loomis was listing off players that like comes to mind when he thinks of like people that are cornerstones, young players that are cornerstones of this team.
Yeah.
And I remember I saw it on Twitter last night on X with Jeff. He was talking about like, look, at the end of the day, if the GM is going on, you know, a public, you know, stage and saying your name in the category of good, that's a damn good thing to hear. That's a damn good thing to realize. Taylor should be on the list if he wasn't already. I'll have to double check, confirm that he was there, but
the Mickey Loomis list.
I'd be on that list. I'd love to be on that list.
You mentioned Jeff Nowak. We're going to take a break. Come back with our Saints sideline reporter after this. Find out the latest from practice, Derek Carr, and more as the Black and Gold get ready for Sunday in Carolina. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Who dat? Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller and Cullen Steele bring you until 8 o'clock tonight. We also got Pelicans action this evening. Another late night hoops date with the Birds out west. They are in Golden State taking on the Warriors. That's a 9 o'clock tip-off, 8:30 pregame coverage right here on WWL AM and FM. Now going to get into some more Saints talk. For that, we welcome in Saints sideline reporter and my partner on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, what's going on today, the day before Halloween, man?
Well, Derek Carr dressed up as Derek Carr today and talked to the media, so that was fun.
Wow, how's that oblique injury doing?
he dressed up as a healthy person, so that's a good thing. We got the candy. We're ready. It's happening. What are you dressing up as Halloween?
I was kind of talking with that Cullen in one of the segments. You know, we're going to be at the Treasure Chest Casino tomorrow, and I'm like, oh, man, do I need an outfit for tomorrow? I might just put a Saints jersey on and then wrap a bunch of gauze around me and just be like a mummified Saints player.
Yes, that would be fitting. Yeah, just have some injury and you will fit right in.
Looking at the injury report for today, good segue into that. Some of the names on there, obviously some big ones still in a Marshawn Lattimore, Tyrann Mathieu. But I also saw your tweet mentioning the only really big surprise was another corner and Kool-Aid McKinstry popping up with a hamstring issue.
Yes, Kool-Aid, there's two that we didn't see go off with injuries during the game that popped up. One is Kool-Aid McKinstry with the hamstring. The other was Jamal Williams with a groin injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in both of those injuries, what makes them significant is, you know, you're talking about the cornerback position. Well, Marshawn Lattimore, Rico Payton, Kool-Aid McKinstry are all on the injury report. Marshawn and Rico didn't practice, and you're already without Paulson Adebo, who's on IR. So that's, you know, four cornerback options. And you're like, man, what are you going to do if one or two of those guys can't go? That's a problem. And then running back, you're in a similar situation. Alvin Kamara is already on the injury report. Kendre Miller is on the injury report as a DMP, and then you have Jamal Williams. So it's like, oh, man, what happens if, you know, some of those injuries linger and you can't get those guys back? The Saints signed Jacob Cabote to the practice squad. They already have Jordan Mims on there. So, like, you may have to elevate one or both of them if you're in a situation. And then cornerback, you know, you're in a similar, like, man, what do you do if you continue to see this attrition? You're already down to, you know, your third and fourth starting outside corner options. So that's something they'll have to figure out. But even with that, I think this is actually a reasonably positive injury report for the Saints. I think they're trending in the right direction. Pete Werner is not on here. Cesar Ruiz is not on here. So, you know, there are some positives to go with that, too.
Yeah, you mentioned that with Pete Werner. Obviously, that was a concern for me, seeing him get off the field late and look like he was in a lot of discomfort. Really, I wasn't sure what his issue was, but happy to see that it is non-issue. At least on today's practice report, for sure not showing up there. Looking at the team going into this game against a Carolina squad they know well. They faced them week one, and that's when things were rolling for the Black and Gold. But I know that the mindset and the feeling right now in this locker room, nobody's taking anything for granted or overlooking a 1-7 Panthers squad. There's no reason to look down on anybody right now. But man, oh man, this Panthers squad too seems to be just as hurting as the Saints. And just you look at the statistics and just all over the board, Carolina just not good offensively, defensively, all the way around. This should, and I'm stressing, should be a victory for this Saints team, no matter if fans, I think, are currently embracing the tank right now. But for me, at least, I'm still hopeful they can get back on track, especially seeing like a Derek Carr back out there. But man, oh man, if things can go awry this weekend in Carolina, Jeff, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you got to go out there and win this game. Right, and I think they will. You know, I think getting Derek back is going to be kind of a shot in the arm for the offense and the confidence level that you'll have with it. And because, you know, and Derek talked about this today, and I think he's right. This is kind of what I said. It's like, I don't think Spencer Rattler was playing that badly. I think he was playing like a rookie, and rookies struggle. And
you've heard me say that. What do you know?
Well, right. And I say this all the time,
yeah,
to the point that, you know, you've heard me say it. You know, when you rely on rookies in key positions, you can't get mad at them for playing like rookies. You kind of just have to look at it, say, this is what you need to do better. This is what you did well. Accentuate the positives, fix the negatives, and move forward. And the Saints, unfortunately, had put themselves in a situation where those three losses were losses that you couldn't take because you didn't win close games against the Eagles and the Falcons. You had already lost three games going into that stretch that you kind of felt destined to lose three more games. Now, with Derek Carr in there, would you have been more competitive against the Broncos and the Bucks? Probably. I think you may have lost those games either way, but I think you probably beat the Chargers if you have Derek Carr in there and you can sustain some offense because they weren't doing anything, and you actually had a good defensive performance. So I think that's what you'll see again is you'll see, you know, I don't know if this offense is going to show up and look like it did weeks one and two, but I think you'll see them be able to put up points, keep the defense off the field a little bit more so that they're not as gassed later in the game at the end of the first half, the end of the second half. And you're going to be going up against Bryce Young, a guy that you know pretty well by this point. The Panthers, Andy Dalton did return to practice this week. He's dealing with a thumb injury that he actually hurt in a car accident prior to last week. They gave Bryce the job back, and I think it's kind of like, hey, if we're going to lose all of our games, we might as well lose them with the young guy. And so you're gonna be seeing that again, which I think is a good thing for the Saints because I would be a little bit more worried about this matchup if it was Andy, just because you know there's some motivation there, I'm sure, to go against a team and a defense that you know well, and I think he might handle it a little better. But yeah, a loss for the Saints this week would feel like, you know, I don't think this is a team that is in kind of tear it down, you know, hit the eject button territory right now, because there's just too many veteran players on this team that should be able to pull you in the right direction. If you lose to the Panthers, you're 1-2 and 7, and you're talking about bottom three in the NFL right there. Like you're talking about you are arguably the worst team in the NFL. Then I think that has to change the conversation.
Well, I mean, Jeff, we were talking earlier, you mentioned it briefly about how like with getting Carr back, this could be a shot in the arm for the offense. Could the inverse be said for the defense? Could the fact that we're going against Bryce Young, hopefully for the whole game, and the fact that they just traded away Deontay Johnson, they're arguably their best, you know, pass catcher, the fact that you've got a not great QB with not a lot of receiving and offensive options, could this be kind of a good, we you know, hopefully the phrase we use all the time, get right game for the Saints defense?
Yeah, man, I think they have some stuff they can build off of last week. I think the Saints defense played pretty well in that game last week, and when you can't sustain offense, it's you're asking your defense to, you know, get tired, and then they're going to get gashed late in the game. That's kind of what happened, I think. But no, I mean, the defense should feel comfortable in this matchup. They've dominated all three matchups against the Panthers since Bryce Young has been the quarterback, and I don't anticipate that changing all that much. That said, this is probably, you know, in terms of the outside cornerback position, if Marshawn can't go, which I think is a reasonable possibility, this, you know, this might be your weakest grouping that you've had out there in terms of Noah Debo or Lattimore. You'll probably have Alante continue to kind of play outside in base sets, play nickel when you go to that personnel package, and then have Kool-Aid take over. But then, okay, who's your other outside corner? Is it Rico Payton, the guy who's dealing with a back injury? Is it whatever? So, you know, if there was ever a secondary that can be taken advantage of by Bryce, this might be it. That said, no, I mean, you should feel like both sides of the ball, you have the advantage. You should be able to go out there and dominate. And, and if you can, and you get back on the winning track and you say, well, we got that. Once the first step has to be to end the losing streak. And then from there, you build on whatever you can. But until you end that losing streak, you can't really look at it as anything but we desperately need to go win a game. I don't care what it looks like.
Jeff, I'm looking at your practice report. Everyone can check out at WWL.com. Looking at the injuries, and one thing of interesting note you make with Chris Olave practicing with one of those Guardian caps, and could be an indicator, maybe possibly he ends up suiting up with that Sunday in Carolina, considering his history of concussion history, I should say.
Yeah, well, so they all practice in Guardian caps. That's something that has kind of been growing in the NFL in terms of, like, I don't think they initially wore them during practice when they first started that process, and now basically every team in practice wears them. But the difference today was Chris actually had the, you know, if you've seen guys wearing them in games, they have that kind of pullover sleeve. I don't know what the proper word for it would be, but it has the actual, like, Florida Lee and the team logo on it.
Right.
And that was the first time I've seen any Saints player wearing one of those kind of pullovers. And so, you know, that's kind of a, it's an interesting decision to, if you're not at least considering wearing that in a game. And Dennis Allen was asked about it. He said it's something that's being discussed. You know, it, if it's going to help him prevent concussions, I'm all for it. You know, it's really just a question of whether he feels comfortable wearing them. You know, I haven't heard from any players throughout the course of them wearing these in practices that it slows them down, that it's clunky to the point that I think it's more like, hey, once you kind of get used to the weight of it, it doesn't really change much for you. But yeah, you're talking about a guy that's had three concussions in three seasons, and you have a couple more, and suddenly you're talking about, hey, is this going to end your career early? You know, so I think it would be prudent to be proactive, even if it doesn't necessarily look cool. I know Tua Tagovailoa is a guy that a lot of people think should be wearing one, considering his concussion history. But no, it'll be interesting if we see it out there, because we haven't seen any Saints players wearing these yet.
No, you mentioned with Tua, I was definitely shocked he wasn't a guy that was sporting that. And you really don't see it much around the league. I think I can recall maybe one player wearing a Guardian cap in an actual game situation.
There's been a few. There was a player on the Bucks who was wearing one of their offensive tackles. And, you know, you don't even really notice it until they kind of show you a close-up replay, and you're like, oh, he's wearing one. But, like, if you're just watching kind of a game from the broadcast angle, you're not gonna see it. But it's definitely kind of a weird look when you see it for the first time. And the pullovers that kind of mimic the helmet, I wonder how many different colors they have. When you change, like, to the, if they were wearing the if they were wearing, like, the alternate helmet,
right?
And yeah, like, do you have a black one? Like, I don't know. It's kind of strange, because then it would stand out significantly. But I'm not sure. Either way, like, it's, concussions with Chris have become a serious thing to be concerned about. And I mean, he got checked in that last game, right? Like, he took that big hit. He went to the tent, missed a couple plays, you know, and he did come back in the game. But it's clearly something that they should be proactive about.
When you look at this defensive side of the ball, obviously getting to the quarterback, a huge issue, and the team's looking to increase those numbers constantly going into this season. The addition of Chase Young, it's been pretty much a mixed bag this season so far, and everyone I know is expecting a ton from this guy, looking to cash in free agency for next year. And right now, it's been meh. And a possibility, it looks like, you know, he could be an affordable option to keep around in New Orleans. I'm just wondering, have you gotten much interaction with him? I know he doesn't speak much in the locker room, but just how is Chase Young doing? Is he happy? I'm assuming he's healthy, too. He's not on the injury report at all.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, Chase is happy. He's not, wouldn't say he's a pretty loquacious fellow. He doesn't talk much. But no, he's healthy. I don't think that's been an issue for him. And I also think, I think he's been fine. I don't think he's been the biggest issue on this defensive line. When this line has had issues, it's been, hey, okay, you've generated pressure and you haven't gotten to the guy to the ground, which, you know, that's a problem that the Saints have been having for a long time. That predates Chase Young. But the other issue has been, hey, you're stopping the run and forcing pass rushing situations, right? Like, the thing that people tend to forget is, you look at the stat line at the end of the game. Okay, how many obvious passing situations did you force? Because those are the situations where you're going to get sacks, right? You're not getting a lot of sacks in third and three, in second and four, right? Because those are kind of, you know, neutral downs where you could do either, and so your pass rushers aren't going to be able to pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. And I think when you look at, okay, you're lost to the Bucks, you're lost to the Broncos, you know, you couldn't stop the run. So you're not going to get sacks because they're not going to be sitting there giving you opportunities to get sacks. So I don't know. I think Chase has been fine. I really think that the criticism of him is mainly just, hey, you, I know his name and I'm going to yell about Chase Young. But no, I mean, the defense in general, it needs to do a better job of creating situations and taking advantage of those situations, right? Like the more often you put yourself in situations where the offense has the advantage, the more often you're going to get beaten by the offense, right? And when you do get a team backed up in third and 12, third and 15, that's where you have to be able to get after the quarterback, affect him, and get him to the ground. And, you know, for the most part, I think the Saints have done a decent job of that when they've gotten into those situations. They just haven't gotten there enough.
No, and with Chase Young and actually, you know, everybody on this Saints defense, the sack numbers really aren't there, at least for the D-line. Maybe Brian Brazee and Carl Granderson, and it kind of drops off that after that. I know Chase Young's got two sacks on the year. We're just expecting, I think, a lot more of an impact. It just hasn't been there, unfortunately. The positive, I guess you could say, is that Alondé Taylor has shown to be a guy that you can rush and is capable of attacking and taking down that QB.
Yeah, I would say generally speaking, when you get a lot of sacks from your secondary, it's a sign that hey, you're having to send extra pressure because you're not getting it as much as you might want. I will say, you know, you have 21 sacks on the year. That puts you 10th, 11th in the NFL. You're tied for 10th in the NFL.
That's not terrible.
So that's not a terrible number, right? You're in the top half. You know, you're generating pressure. It's just when you're losing games, that's where you're going to look. And when you're getting gashed on the ground, it's not really about the quarterback pressure. It's about the tackling. But no, I mean, I think the Saints did a better job in that game. What gives me confidence, what I look at positively coming out of that game, is outside of that Ladd McConkey catch and run, which that's a whole different can of worms. I thought the Saints tackled pretty well. Like, I don't think you saw J.K. Dobbins breaking tackles. I don't think you saw receivers running out of tackles. I think you wrapped up and you got guys to the ground. I think Colin Saunders has been a solid player for the Saints over the last few weeks, kind of gone under the radar. He had a couple of really nice plays in that game. You know, and I think it's just about, hey, you get to the guy, get him down. And that's what I think the Saints did. I don't know that I don't have the missed tackle numbers offhand, but I think even against the Broncos, I think the Saints improved in the missed tackle department. And it was really the Falcons game, the Chiefs game, and the Bucks game that was a huge problem. So I think we have seen them get better in that regard, and hopefully that can continue.
Well, enjoy that trip out to Carolina this week. At least it is a short one, not having to travel all the way out west.
No doubt. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the time. Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, also digital content producer. Check out all his work at WWL.com. Also, my partner on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Be sure to listen to that wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're going to take a break. Be back with more sports talk right now. Bottom of the second inning, New York, New York. The Yankees up 4-0 over the Dodgers. Ruh-roh. Let's go, Bombers. We'll be back right after this on WWL. Pelicans getting ready to take on the Warriors again this evening. Pelly's going down in Golden State last night, but we're looking to bounce back this evening. That's a 9 o'clock tip right here on WWL AM FM. Also, pregame coverage starting 8:30. We're going to get into some audio of Zion Williamson postgame against the Warriors last night. Here's what Z had to say.
With the way this game went in the last Portland game, what's your feel just about where the team is and what are some of the issues y'all are going through currently?
You know, you practice a certain way all training camp, and then, you know, we lose. You know, our guard with DeJounte. So, you know, we're NBA players. We got to make that adjustment quick. But I don't think it's a cause for panic. I think it's just we need to lock in. It's 82 games.
What do you feel just as far as the urgency? Because you guys talked a lot about, you know, how tight the West is and all of these games matter once you go down the stretch. Knowing, you know, games like this you probably need, I guess, where's the level of urgency in the locker room?
It's a high level of urgency, but not in a panic kind of way, more in a focus, coming together as a team kind of way. And, you know, I can't have 8 turnovers. It's just the truth of it.
And how much of that was just, you know, just mistakes versus the way they were guarding you?
50-50. I think some of them I was trying to be too passive when I should have just went. And some of them, they were just being more physical.
And, you know, for the first time for the first time, you kind of looked more like yourself offensively. I guess, how did you feel out there with the way you were able to score and get to your spots?
I felt pretty good. Got to find my rhythm. But once again, that's no excuse for those 8 turnovers.
And you and B.I. both, you know, ended up with more than 30, but then the rest of the guys really struggled. What do you think they were able to do to kind of prevent y'all from getting everybody else involved?
It's physicality. They were in the gaps. You know, they were kind of baiting us to make those passes out, and, you know, they were on top of it. Now it's just coming together as a team, game planning, watching film, and just going from there.
That was the Pelicans star Zion Williamson. We'll get into what he said and also previewing a little bit of tonight's game in Golden State, Part 2, coming back right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, getting ready for Pelicans basketball this evening. We got 8:30 pregame coverage coming up, as well as a 9 o'clock tip-off in Golden State. The Birds trying to get on the right side of the win streak going. They started out the season great, but the last two games have been rough for this black and gold. I almost said black and gold for this Bird gang.
No, it's been bad. But again, I mean, we're gonna keep harking it, because I'll shout it from the rooftops, because that's what Willie Green was doing during the summer. You gotta shoot threes. I don't care if you don't make them. You have to attempt. That's the whole point. You have to attempt them. We're not the Ollie Cassell stat I talked about in Triple Option. It's not that we're making, you know, 37 threes a game. It's that we're trying to shoot 37 threes a game. And that's obviously, I mean, we were 40% from three last night, and they were 45%. But the difference is, They took double the amount of threes. We had 22, they had 46.
Speaking of threes, how's Jordan Hawkins back doing?
He's apparently, from what I'm seeing on Twitter of Nate Duncan over on Twitter, you know, giving it a go, 60% speed right now.
Okay.
We'll have to see. Obviously, pregame's going to start in about 31 minutes, and hopefully Willie Green will have something then. But would you put him on the floor if you need to? And with Herb and CJ out, I feel like you kind of need to.
No, you definitely need to right now. And as you mentioned, they need that 3-point firepower, and he can provide that. I want to thank everybody for tuning into Sports Talk this evening. Me and Mike DiTillo will be back at it tomorrow night. Treasure Chest Casino, make sure you stop by and say hey as we lead into Thursday night football. For Steve Geller and Cullen Steele, Mike DiTillo as well, want to thank you all. Have a great night, everybody, and happy Halloween.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.